Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of my podcast. We have a very special guest today joining all the way from New York City. We got Sarah Peralta joining the podcast. Hi Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how's the New York evening?
It's beautiful. It was a beautiful spring day. It's getting warmer. It's been cold, but it's finally starting to feel like kind of warm.
Right. So I remember, you know, last few years, it was New York is like one of the hardest places to live, right? You had a lot of restrictions with the COVID. How is the situation now? How's the life in New York now?
So I don't live in New York City. I live upstate.
Right.
I live about an hour and a half north of New York City. Whenever I've gone to New York City within the last couple of months for gigs, and yeah, people had pretty much stopped wearing masks, and there's lots of people doing things, and people are, it kind of feels like maybe it's sort of kind of normal.
Right. Actually, recently I went to this concert, and actually we don't know how to react, like whether we should shake hands, whether we should hug, whether we should do fist pump still. So it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of awkward, right?
Yeah, it's so strange. The whole thing has been strange.
Right. So Sarah, how did the pandemic affected you personally?
So personally, I have two small children. So I had to homeschool them. And I was working on my record. We were just about done with the record. And then when the pandemic happened, everything kind of stopped. So it put a little bit of a halt to the record, but then over time we kept picking away at it and going back. And first I went back into the studio, we were wearing masks, and we were still able to work and complete the recording. It was hard for me because I was home with my children, homeschooling them. So my time was completely devoted to them, and it was pretty intense.
Right. Anything that you learned from this whole pandemic experience?
I actually like being home, and there was something in some way kind of nice about not having anything pulling me outside of my own little bubble.
Right.
So, I mean, I really missed people and interaction. I missed going to restaurants and seeing friends. And there was like this longing, but at the same time, I kind of loved just being in my own world for a while.
Right. And I think it also created, for me personally, like I started appreciating things more, like even ability to just go outside and have a cup of coffee. It was yeah, a magical experience now, because I wasn't able to do it for so long.
I know, it's true. It does give you an appreciation for community and friends and sharing with people and having that interaction. Right. It's so important. Humans are really social creatures. We need people.
Right. But I think last 2 years actually also gave us some time to reflect on what our lives, basically, right? Because we were like always going, running one from one to another, one thing to another. But I think it sort of gave us some time to reflect and maybe examine a little bit where we were going, right?
Yeah. And also it was good for the environment. We weren't burning as many fossil fuels. We kind of like had to hunker down and like figure out simple things in life, which is good, I think.
Right.
In some ways.
So Sarah, tell me a little bit about your childhood and what's your earliest memory of music?
So my grandfather, he taught all of his children how to play guitar and piano. And my mother was always singing. My mother has a really beautiful voice. And she has three sisters, and they were always singing together in harmony. And my family was always playing music, and people were coming over and they were playing music together. And we were outside playing music or inside playing music. It was just something that everybody did. And I just was so a part of it right from the very beginning and just wanted to participate and wanted to play and sing. And as soon as I could reach the piano keys, I was playing and figuring out melodies. And I just had this something inside of me that just like really wanted to express myself through music.
Right. So what sort of music did you like, you really got interested when you started? Like, you know, you knew that you want to become a singer, and what sort of like music did you get attracted to?
Well, when I was a child, it was really just whatever music was there. Like my grandfather, he was really into like big band era 40s standards and things like that. Mm. So he was in World War II. That was his generation of like all these like Frank Sinatra. And, but not just that, so many, I mean, the Beatles were a big thing. We just, all that popular music, everybody was just playing it. And my dad really loved some Blackbird by the Beatles. My grandfather would teach me little classical pieces on the piano, and he would teach me little like blues things on the piano and jazz things. And I just took to them and would just play them. And then whatever, if I heard a melody that I liked, I could figure it out. And I remember one of the first ones that I figured out by myself was Canon in D. And I somehow figured out that chord progression on my own. And I remember the moment that I did, and it was like, oh my God, I figured that out by myself, and I can just play this song and I don't have to look at music or anything. I can just play it from my memory.
Right. So do you remember like when did you like first perform? Like
Well, I was always, so as a child, I started just coming up with songs, and I took piano lessons, and then I never really practiced what I was supposed to be practicing, and I would always just be making up my own songs instead. And then my teacher was always angry at me because she was saying, you played all week, but you didn't play what I told you to play. But then I eventually came around and got into the discipline of it too. So I was just always making up songs. And then I was performing for those things, like for my church. When I was growing up, I was in the choir in my church, and sometimes they would ask me to play the organ. Mm. And so I would do that. And then, for my piano recitals and things, but that was all when I was a pretty little kid. And then when I was a teenager, these kids that were forming a rock band heard me sing, and they asked me if I would be their singer. So this was an eclectic mix of like grunge, rock, but then also the piano player was really brilliant, and he was like the smartest kid in our class and could play this amazing piano stuff. So it was this interesting collection of kids that formed a band in high school. And I was writing poetry. So I would sing this poetry that I was writing over their like thrashing guitars. So that's how that started. And then I got kind of tired of that because it was maybe a little bit too edgy for me. It got to a point where it started to feel like it was just like they weren't really listening to me, and they're always playing way too loud. And then I ended up forming a band with a bunch of girls. We formed a girl band, and that was, we sang a lot of harmony together. And so that was my high school experience. And then I ended up getting into a choir that traveled to Europe, and we did a tour through the cathedrals and other venues, like an Olympic Stadium and Euro Disney and things like that. When I was like 15, I think, or 16. And then I continued to write my own music. And when I was 17, I met this man who was a bit older than me. And he was doing an electro pop project, and it was really beautiful. And they were looking for a singer. So I went in and auditioned for them, and then we started working together. And that was how my first album came about when I was, I think we released it when I was about 19.
Right. So you mentioned like you toured in Europe with the choir, like when you were like 15 years old. Was it the first time you left the country, like went outside of the country?
Yeah.
And how was that experience, like going into all these places in Europe, especially like all these cathedrals and...
Oh my God, it was incredible. It was so amazing. I'll never forget some of the places we went to, like St. Mark's Cathedral in Venice. We sang there and it was kind of overwhelming because these places are so beautiful and like there's so many generations of humanity and people that have been cultivating these places. So it was, for me as an American, where everything is pretty new, it was amazing to go to Europe and feel all the history. And also my ancestors are from Europe. So I felt like I was kind of digging into my ancestral roots.
Right. Because I feel like I went to Ireland also a few years ago. Then I feel like there is a kind of balance of new and old in Europe. Like it's not all everything new. It's like kind of balancing act. And it's that balance is very beautiful, especially like the architecture and the streets and everything.
Yeah. Like,
but they are also advanced in technology as well. And then things work out very nicely, right? And people are very nice as well. So it's like, that was a great experience for me as well. Sarah, so because you're coming from like very, like a musical sort of, your family is like into music. So was there any pressure that you also felt that because you're coming from a musical sort of family that you have to work on this and I have to become a musician and I have to do
it? No, it was different. It was more, the pressure all came from myself. Like it really came from inside. And my family was just lovingly supportive of music. And it wasn't, there's some people in my family that were professional musicians and there were other people in my family that just loved music and played it all the time, but they had other professions. So it wasn't like, there wasn't any pressure, like you have to be a musician. I just knew that I was, as soon as I started playing, I knew that like, oh my God, this is something that I feel so strongly about, that it just feels so important to me, like something that I never want to stop doing. And it was something that brought me happiness. Like a really deep sense of happiness whenever I'd play music, I just felt like, wow, like I never really feel like this the rest of the day, but when I sit down and play music, I feel so good. And it's something that I just want to keep doing.
Right. So one of these, I saw these beautiful pictures that you post on your Facebook where I think your son is making a ukulele with your father.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
Actually, he's right here. He's hiding behind me.
I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, so my father has been building a ukulele with me, right?
I'm gonna go grab my chips.
Right. It might be like very exciting for you to see that, right? That they're doing it.
Oh yeah, it's so sweet. Yeah, right. It's really amazing. My dad's been building instruments for a long time. He builds guitars and ukuleles and banjos. And so he decided that he wanted to build something with this guy.
Right. So Sarah, now you primarily, you sing and then you play the keyboards and organ as well, right? But who do you like got inspired from or influenced from as a vocalist, as a singer? Who do you look up to?
As a singer, there's so many great singers, and I don't want to just name all the people that everybody, like, I mean, Frank Sinatra is somebody that is revered as a singer, for his emotion and his mic technique and his, I think his tenderness, and he just has such a familiar voice. I really love Brian Ferry from Roxy Music. He's right. somebody that inspires me. I also just really love the production of Brian Ferry's music. And I love his voice and his romanticism. I also really love Crowded House. Mm. Tim and Neil Finn, and I really love their solo work too, and Split Ends. I really love their songwriting. I think their songwriting is really special. Their lyrics are great. Whenever I hear their music, I always feel really inspired, and I feel like, oh yeah, that's why I love music. That's why I want to write, because I relate to how they write their songs. Another person is Jeff Buckley. I really love him. I love his voice and his mood. I can relate to his mood.
Yeah.
His brooding mood.
How about a female artist?
I know. The thing is, it's funny because I was thinking about female singers, and I think I actually feel more inspired by a lot of male singers. But I really love Nina Simone is one of my favorite female singers. I just love her gutsy, soul-wrenching voice. And I love like Roberta Flack. Mm. And it's funny because people always they always compare me to Tori Amos and Kate Bush.
Right.
Like endlessly. And I think it's just because I play the piano and sing. I mean, maybe I don't think I really sound like them, but maybe I do and I just don't realize it. I like them both, but I they're not major influences for me. They're like, I enjoy their music, but I'm not as in love with it as I am with some other artists.
Right. Because I had that sort of same feeling also when I was listening to some of your songs, but I got the feeling of, you know, like Paula Cole and maybe also Dolores of Cranberries. There's a bit of that in you as well. I feel that kind of like your voice.
Okay.
I think you actually have, I think it's from your album, The Well. I think there's a song called Features, right?
Fishes.
Yeah, the song called Fishes, yeah. Right? So when I was listening to that, I was kind of it's sort of familiar, like Paula Cole's, you know, I don't want to wait, and you know, like that sort of feeling.
Okay, that.
So the band that you mentioned that you had your first album, that is Outloud Dreamer, right? So can you tell me about that band and that first album?
So that was actually, that's the one that I just left off with. So it was Carl Adamai, he's a bass player and producer. And so it was really the two of us, and we recorded everything in his house. And I would write the songs, I would come in with the lyrics and the chords for most of them. Some of them he came up with a bass groove, and then he would give it to me and I would formulate a song around it. It was just the two of us, and we just made this record together. And then we had, we only had one other person come in and play on it, who was a guitarist who came in and played guitar in a couple of songs. His name was Jason Foster. He passed away a few years back. And so we released that record, and it got really great critical acclaim, and it was exciting. It was really exciting to release my first record and have it be so well received.
Right. So yeah. So from Outloud Dreamer, and then you went on like Sarah Perata afterwards, right?
So after that, Carl ended up moving. Him and his wife had a baby, and they ended up moving to Las Vegas. And so then I was left alone, kind of like, oh wow, I just like spent all this time working on this project and felt like we were going to keep expanding and growing with it, and now it's not happening anymore. And so I didn't really know what to do with myself. And I just kept writing songs and I was doing some solo things. And then I decided that I just wanted to put my band back together. So Carl and I had formed a band with a guitarist and a drummer. And we were playing out a bit, like we would play out in New York City and we'd play out all over the place. And so I decided that I just wanted to put the band back together. So I did. And we found another bass player. And then that's when I wrote my second. Actually, we found the bass player after we recorded the record, because we didn't have a bass player when we went in to record. And then we asked Tony Levin if he would play bass on the record. So he came in with us and he recorded all the songs with us, I think in like 2 or 3 days. And that was awesome. It was a really awesome experience to work with Tony. And I was so nervous because I was such a huge fan of him. And I didn't think he was gonna say yes. I just said it, I actually said, let's ask Tony Levin. I said it as a joke, because I was such a big fan. And they said, well, who are we gonna get to play bass? And I said, Tony Levin. And I just kind of said it like, because it was a dream. And then the engineer said, oh, I just was at a party with him like a week ago. And he gave me his number and told me to call him if we needed him. So let's call him. So we called him and he loved the songs. And he came in and brought in all of his basses and funk fingers and the Chapman stick and all this cool stuff. And in the beginning, I remember feeling like so nervous and afraid that I was gonna mess it up. And like, I was afraid to play with him. Mm. And then as soon as I started playing, I just completely relaxed. And it felt, because he's so good. And as soon as he starts playing, his pocket is so great. And it's so much fun to play with. So all of a sudden it was like the nerves all went away and it was just a blast to work with him. And we had a really good time making that record together.
So Tony Levin is from King Crimson and Peter Gabriel as well, right? He played.
Yep. Yeah.
And I also read that that album was also mixed and produced by a Grammy Award winning producer as well, right?
Yeah, Malcolm Byrne. So we made the whole record and I wasn't really happy with the mix in the end. And then I reached out to Malcolm Byrne online, and he lives in Kingston also, which is the city that I live in now. Mm. And he said, why don't you come over to my studio and I can show you what I can do. Just bring the files and I can show you what would happen if I mixed one of your songs, and then you can decide if you want to hire me. So he mixed one of the songs and it was so great. And it was like night and day. And I just decided to have him mix the whole thing. So he mixed it at the end. He has a really amazing sound that he's able to achieve. He really gets this glow on everything. And it's a very distinct production that he's able to achieve.
Right. I think, Sarah, out of your albums, I think one of my favorites is the Tonight album, because songs like Conquer Me, I really love that there's a lot of progressive rock kind of vibe in that album. So
yeah.
So like I've been listening to Conquer Me, and that's like that I've been even sharing that song a lot. So tell me about the album Tonight.
Yeah. So after The Well, I ended up putting together this trio, and we just had really great chemistry. So it was myself and this guitarist, Johnny Wong, and Will Olson was the drummer. And the three of us, we just workshopped all these songs that I had written. And as soon as we started playing together, we just had this instant energy. And it was awesome. We had a really great, that was a really great moment of that connection with those guys. And we recorded that record. And actually I'm playing, so now with my band that is going to Europe next week, we've been resurrecting some of those songs. So we have Conquer Me is one of the songs we're playing, and we have a really great groove for it. It's a little different than that record, but it sounds really good. My drummer right now is really awesome.
Right. So tell me about this tour that's coming up.
So we are, my friend Benoit, he's starting this record label called 8 Hours Records out of Switzerland. And so he signed me to his label. I'm also signed to a label in the States, but he's distributing my music in Europe, and he organized this tour for me. So we're gonna play Switzerland, Italy, and France. And we have a gig about every night for 2.5 weeks.
When is the tour starting?
We leave next Friday, and the first gig is next Saturday. So April 30th at Le Tunnel in Switzerland, which is an underground tunnel converted into a venue.
Wow. Sarah, so your latest album, which was, I believe, released in 2021, right? The Blue to Gold. Mm-hmm. How is the response to that album? I know that the song Circles has been airplayed a lot in a lot of places. And I think one thing that you can probably talk about is this album. I think you had a lot of collaborations as well on this album, right? So tell me about that.
So this album, I met Jerry Murata, who is one of Tony Levin's best friends and musical cohort, and they've played on so many records together. They played with Peter Gabriel together and like a million other projects, and right. They're such an amazing team. So I ended up meeting Jerry, and he said he could help me record my next record. So he manages this recording studio called Dreamland Recording Studio near Woodstock, New York. And we spent years working on this record, and I'm really proud of it. And it was really an amazing experience to work with Jerry, somebody that is he has so much experience. He's played with everybody and had so many hits. He worked with Hall & Oates, he worked with Paul McCartney, he worked with Elvis Costello, he worked with Cher, he worked with the Indigo Girls, John Mayer, Tears for Fears. Like, I can't even, the list just goes on and on and on. It's crazy. And
right.
It was so fun to work with him because he's like this wealth of experience, and he's such an incredible drummer. So so we had a really great time making that record, and we asked a lot of Jerry's friends and a lot of my friends to contribute to it. So we got a pretty amazing roster of musicians to be on that record.
Right. So this last few years, like last 2 years, so did it give opportunity for you to write songs and new songs? Are you expecting to release new music in the coming?
Yeah, I have a bunch of new songs, and I'm excited. I haven't decided. I'm kind of still formulating how I'm going to make the next record, because I built a recording studio in my house now, and I have this amazing piano, this amazing Steinway piano that I got, and I feel like I could maybe record it on my own or record it at my house, but I'm not feeling like completely confident in recording myself.
Right.
I can do it, but I'm used to working with engineers who are really quick and who know so much about recording. I can get a great performance. So I'm kind of deciding on how I want to do this record. I might have some people, like some engineers, come in and help me to make it. And I haven't decided about the production. Like, I might have Jerry come in and produce this with me again. I'm deciding. So it's still kind of in the infantile stages where I have a lot of the songs written, but I'm also working to push this last record, and we have this tour. And so I'm focused on that right now. And then I'm thinking, I'm thinking I probably won't start recording again until like next fall and winter.
Right. If you get the chance, who would you like to collaborate with? Anybody, any musician, any singer, anybody who?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like this last record, I collaborated with so many people right. that I think that the next one might be more simplified. Like I might go for a different, I don't know. I also have been wanting to make dance music for a really long time. Because right. I have all these songs that are so melancholy, but I really love grooves and dancing. And my band that I'm playing with now, I have a really awesome drummer, a really awesome bass player, and they are like the groove masters, and their grooves are so good that I feel like I need to start writing some dance songs.
that will be good. Now that the world is like kind of going back to normal, I mean, normal is whatever we define normal now, right? So so now that it's things are getting back to normal, what are you looking forward to, like rest of the year and the year ahead?
Well, I'm so excited about this tour. I'm playing and traveling and playing in all these places that I've never played before, and meeting new people. And I'm just really excited about that, about expanding and like just being social and having fun. And we've been having house concerts at my house also. And so we're going to have some more of those over the summer and some festivals. And I'm just excited to play.
Right. Sarah, what's your message to the viewers of this video and, you know, listeners of this podcast?
My message is to enjoy life and to enjoy music. And and if you like to write songs, then to follow that and to delve into that and be your authentic self, and just be as authentic as you can.
Right. Anybody you want to shout out to?
I was gonna shout out to Benoit Perriard, who organized my whole tour. And I'm so grateful for our friendship. And also Third Star Records and 7D Media, who took me on in the States and Canada. And Catherine Campbell, who introduced me to you. She's been really helpful with radio promotion. And of course, Jerry Murata and all the crew at Dreamland for helping me to make this record, and my current band.
Right. So if anybody wants to get in touch with you or listen to your music, please tell everybody your social media and how they can listen to your music.
So I have my website, which is sarahperottamusic.com. So it's Sarah with an H and then Perrotta music. And that has links to all of my social media. On Instagram, it's Sarah Perrotta Music. And Facebook, I think it's Sarah Perrotta Music. And then I'm kind of on the other things too, Twitter, and definitely Spotify is a good place to listen.
Right.
And YouTube.
So Sarah, thanks for joining the podcast. I really enjoyed this conversation. As I said, I really enjoyed your music. That's why I wanted to talk to you. And
thank you so much.
And I wish you all the best with your tour, and have fun, and you know, that will be amazing. And please come back again, share us with when you have new music. Please join us again.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much. It's so nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you, and have a great evening ahead.
You too. Thanks. Thank you.